morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Marty Plum, and I am your host of a Pen and a Napkin podcast, a weekly coaching clinic you can carry around with you in your pocket. Welcome to the Back into the Coaching Staff, episode number 83. I have on the other line the Colonel Sanders eating some chicken and chicken wrap. in between getting home from the soccer pitch and balancing a bunch of things in his life, Mr. Tony D. Viss. Mr. Viss, how are things along the Cedar River?
Windy, and I don't know if it's just for me and my being full of hot air, but yeah, it's windy today. It's 60, so we're kind of back in that moderate area with temperature wise. But yeah, it's pretty windy today. But other than that, you know, it was good to be outside. I had the day off school, so it was a good day.
Did you have training today?
No, we actually got the day off. Yeah, wow. So I was did a fiddle around the house a little bit. You know, was on the phone for a while this afternoon, and then ran up and watched Ashley coach tennis a little bit, and then, you know, ran practice, and now I'm home visiting with you.
Awesome. Very good. All right. Well, hey, episode number 83. We're taping this on Monday the 22nd, because between Tony and I, we've got a crazy 3 days here, so we're recording this a little early, so if some stuff happens, especially in our TWIB segment, that's what we got going on there. We're just behind on that. So we're jumping in here. Episode 83, Tony, I've got three football players for you.
All right. I'm going to go Steve Largent.
He was not on my list.
Wow. He might not be 83. I've been going Steve Largent for a while. And, man. All right, let's try. But did Ted Hendricks for the Raiders, did he wear 83?
There's your 83 right there.
Okay.
Steve Largent was uniform number. Did we miss Steve Largent on our uniforms? Because he's number 80.
We must have missed him.
Oh, God.
Like I said, I've been going with him for a while.
Yeah, yeah. Him and Ted Hendricks have been popping up regularly. I'd have to go back through my notes here on episode 80. Okay. No, there it is right there. Oh, we had Steve Largent there. We're good. We got him covered. The greatest Seattle Seahawk ever.
I didn't want the congressman to get upset with us.
So Ted Hendricks, that's one of them. And you have two wide receivers.
Two wide receivers. Raymond Berry?
Nope. We had him last week.
Doggone 82.
Both of them.
Flipper Anderson.
Huh?
Flipper Anderson.
He was on my list for best wide receivers names this week. I did not consider him good enough to include in our regular
list.
He's
not. I thought I remembered it as 83.
Yeah. All name team there with Flipper Anderson. And then also Lewis Lips. Remember him?
From the
Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. So
yeah.
The two guys that are left here, they both... AFC East players.
Okay. So Bills, Patriots, Dolphins. One of the marks, Duper or Clayton? Let's go with Duper.
Neither one of the marks.
Okay. Colts. I already tried Raymond Berry. That was 82.
Wrong friend. Yeah, Colts are in the Central or the Mid.
Did they move them?
Yeah.
When they move them?
Like 25 years ago.
They got to give me a notice. let's see. Andre Reed.
Andre Reed is correct. Hey, you know we're in daylight savings time now.
They did that too?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
I'm going to start needing when these bills get passed in Congress. So we've got Andre Reed, we've got Ted Hendricks, we need another 83 out of the AFC East, which the Colts are no longer in.
No. The Oilers are not in Houston anymore either.
Doggone. And then somebody said something about there's a Baltimore Ravens or something like that.
There is, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Crap.
He played for two teams in the AFC East, one more successfully than the other one. Went to more than one Super Bowl.
Let's go with Wes Welker.
There it is. There it is.
Dolphins and the Patriots.
Yeah. The New England Patriots, not the Boston Patriots.
They switched the name?
They did. Yeah, they did. Yeah.
I feel like Rip Van Winkle.
Oh, boy. Folks, I apologize. Oh, well. All right. 83 episodes. We made it that far, at least, before we got canceled. So.
Just about to get our money when you have so many out there and you kind of get that kickback money, kind of like episodes on television.
Yeah, we had to get to 100 to get to rerun stage. So we fell short, but such is life. So, all right, episode 83, helping your kids recharge. And as much as we talk about having to recharge or wanting to recharge ourselves as coaches, it is also important that you know, give your kids an opportunity to recharge and to get, you know, fall back in love with the game. You know, for, you know, as many years as I coach, a lot of times I'd hear a kid say in mid to late February, I'm just tired of playing. I don't know if I'm going to go out next year, so forth and so on. And by the middle of April, by around this time, they're singing a much different tune, you know, because it's a grind. It's hard. It's tough. And you know, sometimes we talk about our own situation as coaches, but with our players, it is if probably more important for them to recharge than it is for us, because they're the ones that are not only doing the mental work, they're doing a lot of, you know, they're doing all the physical work as well, Tony. And that's kind of where I would lead off at it. I mean, just kind of the importance of allowing your kids to recharge a little bit.
It's hugely important. I mean, you take a look, Michael Jordan, arguably the greatest to ever play the game. Once his season was over, he took a break. And I think one of the things that you're seeing right now in youth sports and basketball in particular is burnout. You know, you kind of touched on that a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then also overuse injuries. You're seeing way more orthopedic procedures having to be done on younger and younger athletes because they don't take a break, and you have some of these major things that happen and they have to have surgery and then they get a break that way. And you don't want that type of break. You want one where they can charge the batteries up both mentally and physically, because like you said, it is a grind. It's one of those things where you want to make sure that they're approaching it fresh, both physically and mentally, so that they can fall back in love with the game. And it's a tough balance. It's a tightrope to walk in terms of, you know, getting in there and improving and getting better, but at the same time, taking some of those necessary time away from it.
Yeah. So, I think we would both agree. Probably the number one thing is you've got to allow your players time to get away. And it just seems like a really, really simple statement, you know, giving them the time off. But for a lot of us, it's hard to do because we, I heard West High has started their open gyms. Well, they might be a couple of open gyms better than us. We should probably start open gyms and, you know, that type of thing. And that's just the way we are. That's the way we're wired as coaches. But the longer I do this, the longer I realize that I would rather have them come back really, really ready than rush them back just because I feel like, well, somebody else is doing this or somebody else is doing that. No, you got to do what you think is good for your kids in your program. So I think, you know, the number one thing on my list, Tony, is give them that time off, but we've really got to follow through with it from that perspective. Where are you at with that?
100% agree. And some of it's a thing where you have to see where your program's at. Like, our kids played the last night possible of the season. So our kids played into the middle of March, and they needed some time. And the thing that's hard sometimes is, like, our kids play high-level AAU too, and so they might play with us, and then that weekend or the next weekend, they're at AAU tryouts. Mm-hmm. And so they're not taking a lot of time off. And then they're going to play AAU in the spring here, you know, and then once school's out, we're back at doing summer workouts and leagues and shootouts and camps and so on and so forth. And then you spill into the fall, and you're starting open gym fairly soon. And the next thing you know, here comes the season. And so, you know, it's hard, but you've got to make sure there are times you just shut them down.
Yeah.
Because that's important for them to get away from it every once in a while so that they still enjoy the game and they don't wear themselves out. One of the things, you know, we talk about a lot is that we want our kids still to enjoy being around one another as we get into February and the tournament run and so on and so forth. And I don't know if they can, if you're doing 3-4 open gyms right now, and then, you know, you start your summer program going 4 or 5 times a week there. And then the next thing you know, you've turned it into a 12-month a year sport.
Yeah. I, you know, along with that time off and those, you know, no open gyms, one of the things that I put, or you know, giving them time off, I should say, I really don't want any of our kids to do any sort of organized basketball stuff with our program directly until they're done with their spring sport. Now, when I was at Scott, we had, I can't remember if tennis or golf is the spring sport for girls. Let's say it's just tennis, just for simplicity's sake, all right? You had tennis, you had track, you had soccer. And for me, as the head coach of the basketball team, I wanted our kids to have their full attention on basketball season when it came to their athletic activities. Now, I couldn't control that when it came to their club teams. I recognize that, but I could control it when it came to what the other high school coaches were doing. So for me, now when I was at Fort Calhoun, we just only had track, and then we had some girls that played on the golf team as well. So we would not have basically any open gyms until track was over with, because I didn't want the track coach or the volleyball coach at Fort Calhoun doing organized stuff during the season with our kids while we were going through our stuff. So I'm certainly not going to do that to them as well. And I think that's one of the things that if you're going to talk the talk, you've got to walk the walk as well, Tony. You know, so that's another, and like you said, if you've got a good program, if you've got a pretty high level program, there's a very good chance that your kids, you've got kids playing AAU as well. So you don't need to overkill it either by, okay, you're practicing AAU once or twice a week and you're doing this or that. Now come in and do an open gym or two with us a week as well while you're running track or while you're playing baseball or whatever the situation may be.
Yeah. And, you know, during the summer, we're pretty flexible on some of that stuff too, because July is an open recruiting month. And so we just basically do workouts. So mm-hmm. The only thing that we do is we'll do workouts. We don't play. There's no leagues. There's no, you know, team camp or whatever. And so that's something that we try to keep in mind as well, as far as that stuff goes. And the other thing too, is we encourage them to be multi-sport guys, just from the standpoint of, we want them to be using other muscles besides just the basketball muscle set and trying to make themselves more athletic or fast or whatever, by running track and doing other sports and different things like that. And so they do performance PE pretty much on an every other day basis as well. And so they're getting plenty in. You just have to make sure that you're taking the big picture in, and, you know, like you said, not only talking the talk, but also walking the walk in terms of, you know, being willing to share them with the other sports, because in some cases, those other sports might be their priority sport and they're playing basketball to help, you know, you out, to give you a little bit deeper roster. And then in turn, their basketball buddies maybe help them out and play some of those other sports as well.
Mm-hmm. Coaches are absolutely loving our Taking Over a New Program booklet. As many of you know, I spent 2 years outside of coaching, and during that time, I hung a note card in my workspace at school that said, "Strip the house down to the studs." I took that time to really rethink and reorganize my thoughts on what it takes to run a transformational program. As I prepared for the possibility of coaching again, I organized these thoughts into this 96-page booklet. How much do I trust this booklet? I used this booklet as I went on interviews to help sell myself and my vision for what my new program would look like. If I'm using it to sell myself, why wouldn't I recommend it to you, my listeners? This booklet will help you look at any part of your program, no matter what stage you're at in your program, and help improve it in some way. It's all yours for only $15, which includes shipping and handling. For more information, email me at apenandanapkin@gmail.com. Yeah, Tony, one of the things that I had written down was, you know, I think you should push them into a spring sport if possible. Hey, you need to go out for track. You need to, you know, whatever your situation may be, whatever your school has to provide. At Kennedy, you've got more options just because it's a bigger school. But whatever that may be, it's important that you push those kids out into that stuff. And then I think it's really important also, Tony, if you get a chance, now you don't have to go to everything, but I think if you get a chance to go attend some of those spring sport events, you know, and you don't have to be at the Saturday track meet from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. with the 12 meet or 12 team meet or whatever that may be, but come up for an hour or two, go check it out, go to a couple of baseball games in the spring, whatever, just to show your kids that you mean something to them, or they mean something to you more than just them playing basketball for you. So not only do you really want to push them into other sports and other activities in the springtime to help them re-energize themselves for basketball, but I think it's also that you give them a little wind in their sails to let them know how important it is and that you support them.
Yeah, and I think that's 100% true. And some of them might be involved in the arts as well. You know, sneak into a play or a musical, or, you know, if they're at speech, you know, just making sure that you are there, because I think by doing other things, I think it's healthy for them physically, and I think as well it's healthy for them mentally. And then, like you mentioned, you want to show that you care about them more than just as a basketball player or whatever the case may be, depending upon your sport that they participate with you in.
Mm-hmm. What else you got, buddy?
You know, one of the things that you take a look at as well as far as that goes is, you know, one of the things that you can do while they're taking that physical break is, you know, you can have them watch some film. You can meet with them and kind of devise a plan of things to help them improve their game, you know, whether it's adding moves or whatever the case may be. But you can go more to that video side of things. You can go more to like individual workout side of things, because there is that part of it as well. You know, one of the things that we talk with our guys about is the fact that, hey, we're going to get better as a team from November to March. That's just a big, high priority for us. What we need you guys to do is to get better from March to November individually. And so some of that isn't just, you know, getting in there and playing 5-on-5, because I don't know how much better that makes you. It does make you better, don't get me wrong, but you've got to be willing to add some different things to your game. You have to take some time to watch some film, grow on that side of it as well, and you know, add to all aspects of it.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's a great point. You know, or you could, one of the things that I think I did it a couple of times and probably didn't do it as much as I wanted to. Let's just take the recent example from the last, you know, from the women's tournament run. Hey, you know, kids, you talk to them on Friday, let's say, hey, it looks like Iowa's going to play LSU on Sunday for the Elite Eight, or maybe it's Monday. They played on Monday night. Yeah, they played on Monday night. Hey, the Iowa-LSU game is on tonight. You're going to be watching anyway. Jot down a few notes. Tell me what you see as you watch the game. You know, what do you see? How do you see Angel Reese getting to the board so effectively? What does she do there? You know, what does Kate Martin do off the ball to position herself playing off of Caitlin Clark or you know, something like that? And again, I'm talking that way because I'm a girls coach, you know, but you could do the same thing with it. You know, what is really good about UConn's offense if you're coaching guys, you know, and see if you could pick up on that stuff. And I think that's something else that you could do. Or right now during the NBA playoffs, you know, hey, watch Denver and LA tonight or whatever, and tell me what you see out of Jokic. How do you see how he looks at the game? What's one or two things you can learn by watching Jokic play or something like that? And you know, if you're a perimeter kid, hey, watch Jamal Murray. You know, he's obviously a great athlete because he's an NBA player, but he's not, you know, LeBron athlete, you know, so what's he doing to make his game so effective with his teammates and things like that, you know? So I think I love that idea, Tony, of watching that film and again, kind of adding that layer of, you know, give your kids an assignment in that regard. So, one of the things I had written down, Tony, I think something we have to keep in mind, and I think I got better at this as I got more seasoned and experienced, as I became, I became, Tony, I want to make sure the grammar is proper on a pen and a napkin here. So,
did you run that across Grammarly?
No, I use my typewriter cause I don't know what Grammarly is, you know, so, you only have so much emotional energy to give. Your kids only have so much emotional energy to give. Do you want them to give emotional energy in April, or do you want them to have some in February? And I think that's a question that you have to ask yourself if you're coaching your program. You're probably not going to win or lose your district championship game with an open gym in April, but you sure can lose it by, you know, taking away that emotional energy. There's, you know, just like us as adults, and we are, in theory, now you and I might not be the best example of this, but we are mature, formed adults. Again, painting very broadly with a big brush. But I, you know, these kids have a lot on their plate. They have more on their plate than they ever have. School, jobs, they're playing, you know, other, obviously other activities. Pressure to get into certain schools has never been more so than what it is today. We know the influence of social media and how kids feel about their own self-esteem and that type of thing. That emotional energy, there's only so much that they can give. And I think you have to be aware of when you really want to tap into those reserves. Now is a great time to make those emotional deposits so that when you do need to tap into that and make a couple of withdrawals, there's something that's there, and it's not a reach to have to withdraw it from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the emotional maturity part of it is tough. And I think one of the big things that kind of went by the wayside a little bit during the pandemic would be the social emotional learning.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that's something that as coaches that I think that we need to, you know, consider and continue to emphasize that with our players.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I got a couple other things here, Tony. What do you got?
I got another one. The one that I sitting here thinking about is a lot of times, how do kids gauge how well they do? How many shots they make.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to get them to kind of take the pounding off their body a little bit, one thing that you might do and might set up is some type of shooting competition, a shooting league, if you will, where they're working on catch and shoot, where they're working on one dribble pull-ups, where they're working on, you know, things like that, so that, you know, when the next season rolls around, maybe they bump up their shooting percentages, you know, several percentage points or five plus, whatever. But yeah, I think that's big just in terms of the fact that that's something that you can do that's not a pounding on their body, and something, if you make it competitive, you know, I think they can get a lot out of that.
Yeah, we did a lot of that with tracking, you know, stuff and, you know, trying to keep in against a lot of it was on the honor system and that type of thing. But I really believed, and I know people disagree with it, and so be it. You know, there's a million ways to run programs. But I really believe that overall it was important to have some sort of accountability system in the off season and to have those things in place. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with having something set up or setting up leagues or competitions or things like that to spark that interest, to keep that proverbial carrot at the end of the stick. And again, that's not, it's nothing's ever perfect. If anybody was ever running the perfect program, then everybody would do what that person is doing, you know? But I like that idea, Tony. I think it is, as you start getting into your summers, you know, having a way to track your stuff is really, really important. And I like that concept of thinking about that. So, one of the big ones that I had here, Tony, you're talking about that. This is a great time that if you're going to do anything with your team, I think it's a great time to do culture building activities or team bonding activities. You don't have the pressure of the next practice or the next game hanging over your head. We're all in a situation where we're transitioning into the next season, and it's a different dynamic with every single team. Even if you're in a situation where you didn't have any seniors, and everybody's coming back, it's going to be a different dynamic socially, the chemistry, the leadership structure, the stuff that you can control in the locker room, the stuff that you can't control in the locker room, it's all going to be different. And if you're really going to do anything, start building in that way, and that will start getting your players getting focused on next season and their role, you know, not necessarily on the floor, but off the floor, and what we need to be successful at Kennedy or wherever it may be. You know, having those things, having those connections, building those connections when you don't have as much stress. And also in those situations, Tony, one of the things that Don Meyer used to talk about was they get to see you as a human being, as a coach. And even when you do the surprise days in the season, a lot of times, and I can probably say this now, I know it really happened 2 years ago with our team. We had our surprise day planned a couple of weeks in advance, and then we went out, and the night before we were supposed to do it, we played a really bad game, and I was upset with my team, and I just was not in the right frame of mind to really be who I wanted to be the next day when we had that surprise day situation. And you know, that's my fault. I'm not saying it's I had to do that better, and that's something I wish I would have done differently. But I think this is a great time where you're not under stress, you're not under a pressure situation. You can just go out and really start building those bonds for the, you know, now 24-25 season, and that in some ways would be more productive toward your team's success next January and February than it would be beating on them with skills and drills and things like that.
Yeah, and that was one of my last ones too at Dovetail in there really nicely, just the fact that, you know, this might be the time where you give them books to read and that are leadership type books, looking for players to step up, like you mentioned. You could do some team building things during that time as well. But just trying to give some of the ownership, because when our season's over, we can't have contact with them in terms of like one-on-one instruction. But now you start to find out who those leaders are, you know, in terms of organizing guys and checking in and, you know, different things like that. And so, you know, one of the things you might look at, this would be a great time to kind of give them a series of John Gordon books, you know, Energy Bus, Training Camp, The Power of the Positive Team, or whatever the case may be. But this would be a good time as well that kind of takes a little bit more of the mental side, where you're putting, like you mentioned earlier, Marty, deposits in, so that when November rolls around and the season starts to you know, go real quick on you, you have some of that stuff built up where you've built those relationships in, so that when it's not a case of if things are going to go bad, it's when things are going to go bad.
Yep.
And how do you handle adversity? And hopefully you're doing some of the legwork here in April, May, if you will, that can pay off, you know, down the road, a number of months down the road.
I just had one thing left, Tony, but it's not a big thing. How about you?
That was my last one there with the whole book and leadership and team building type stuff.
Yeah. Kind of last thing I had is just go out and enjoy your time. And if you're showing the kids that you're enjoying your time, that you're recharging, that your energy is coming back, they're going to see that as well. I think one of the underrated places that you can make connections with your returning players is at like your players that are graduating, their graduation parties. You know, you go to those parties, you sit down and you have a piece of cake and some brisket or pulled pork or whatever, you know,
a kebab.
You know, those type of situations, I think those are great opportunities to start laying that groundwork as well. And just, again, them seeing you as a human, it's unorganized, it's impromptu, it's very organic, but it can be key to helping your team grow, to help your relationship grow with your players. And again, making those emotional deposits, during those time periods. And a lot of times, you know, just as well as I do, Tony, not only are the kids there, but the kids' parents are there too. So you can have some conversations that are probably a little bit more loose and relaxed, and you know, you're not into your summer schedule yet, you're not doing those things. So I think that's really important to help your kids recharge. Let your parents know that you're recharged and you're excited to work with their son or daughter who's going to be a senior next year. And, you know, let's have a great experience over the next 12 months, and let's be at your graduation party 12 months from today and feeling really good about things, so forth and so on. So I think that's another opportunity that you could kind of steal there. And it's pretty simple to do.
Yeah. I think you bring up a couple good points on that one, Marty. Number one, you know, you're building your excitement up, because that's the thing that you want. You want them to look forward to getting the band back together, so to speak. And, you know, your excitement's going to rub off on them. And then the other thing I like, too, is some of that PR stuff with parents, you know, and, you know, kind of building that excitement up, you know, like you said, looking forward, optimistic, you know, and can't wait to get the summer program started to see what 2024 and 25 and the great things that lie ahead for you.
A Pen and a Napkin University videos are just another way that a pen and a napkin can help you become a better coach. Our university video library is constantly expanding, with topics ranging from interviewing for a job to full court defense to 25 universal truths about coaching. Our university videos will help you round out your skill set as a coach and help you hone your craft. Videos are $10 a piece, with bundling options available. To order, you can DM me on Twitter, send me an email at apenandanapkin@gmail.com, or order from our website, apenandanapkin.com. Be sure to check out the A Pen and a Napkin video library. Well, Tony, you know who always, and I mean always, has great things lying ahead of them.
The rock band Europe.
It is the Swedish Rockers, Europe. Tony, it is my turn for trivia. Are you ready, sir, for A Pen and a Napkin, the coaching staff trivia question of the week?
You bet.
Okay. This weekend, the NBA playoffs commenced. There were 8 games. The home teams went 8-0 this weekend. Tony, in what year was the last time that the home teams started out 8-0 in the first round of the playoffs?
2014.
That is incorrect.
Early or late?
Earlier.
Earlier. 2007.
Later.
2011.
That is incorrect. You were so close on the first guess. 2013.
Huh.
Just off by 1 year.
Some days I just don't have it.
I know. But I thought I when you said 2000, and I'm like, oh yeah, I think he's gonna, yeah. And then you said 14. I'm like, oh god, just so close. So. But 2013 was the last time that all 8 home teams won the first round of the NBA playoffs. And when Mel Allen saw that, he said,
"How about that?"
So, Tony, you know, 8 games. We've got a couple of playoff games going as we speak. I think I saw that Cleveland was ahead of Orlando. Yeah, they're up 16 in the third.
Jalen Suggs got hurt too.
Oh, did he? Yeah. I didn't see any of the game. So, bad hurt, or do you know?
His knee. Let me check on the quick update here. Says here that he was able to return Monday night game 2 after being carried off the court with a left knee strain.
Okay.
So looks like he did come back in.
Okay, good. I've always, a lot of people were down on him his first year or two in the league. And I, as Bill Simmons would say, I never sold my stock on Jalen Suggs Island. I always had I was ready to invest in that guy when he was at Gonzaga. I just thought he was an absolute stud, and I'm glad his career is going in a really good direction. I'm glad he's having success because I think he's got a chance to be really good. So Tony, with just kind of some of your reactions, some of the things that you've seen, in the playoffs so far. Let's just kind of tennis ball it back and forth here, or we could say pong, and we could pong it back and forth or whatever, depending, I don't know if you knew this, the Atari has been replaced by the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Since when? Isn't television gone too?
Television is gone as well, so.
Man.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, so sorry to spring all this stuff on you all at once.
I'm at a loss.
No, but what have you seen? What have you liked? What have you not liked?
The thing that, obviously, like you mentioned, 8-0 at home. The home court's been good. People say the series doesn't start until the road team wins one. Right now, Philly's up on the Knicks 4 at the half. The things that I take a look at is the injury bug a little bit. Like, Embiid's playing, but he's not Embiid, so to speak. Yeah. And then you go through, you take a look. The Clippers looked really good the other night. Kawhi didn't play.
Yeah.
And then you just have a number of stars that aren't playing, and how are teams, shuffling and being able to handle that star not being there. The home team doing their thing as well. The series I'm probably the most surprised with, to be honest with you, is Cleveland and Orlando. I really thought Orlando was going to win that series. Not that they still can't, not abandoning it after, six quarters in, but neither game has been that close, to be honest with you. And then you go to Philadelphia and New York, and New York's only down 4. I think Philly got off to a really good start there. But I look at the East with the injuries that are going on in the East. I mean, Boston, and watch the lose game too, but it just looks like it's Boston's year to advance out of the East into the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I didn't see any of that game because we were driving home from my buddy Meyer, who two-time guest on the Pen and a Napkin, the film room. We had his 50th birthday party this weekend, so great time. So I didn't see any of the Boston game, but I've seen enough of them this year that I just don't see anyway. Jimmy Butler, Giannis. Embiid is, I did look up at the TV and I saw Embiid hurt himself the other night. I saw him go down and I elbowed Carl, like, Embiid just went down. I thought he was done. Like, I thought the way he went down, I thought, like, he's done, but he came back and he's playing tonight. I know he's playing tonight. So hats off to him for being, he very easily could pack it in if he really wanted to, but he's choosing not to. So hats off to him for playing through it. But yeah, I think health is going to come down, a lot, or it's going to come a lot down to health in the East. I still think, you don't want to overreact to one game. I still think Indiana is going to make life very difficult for Milwaukee at the end. I agree with you on the Orlando side of things. I'm really surprised that Cleveland has handled them as easily as they have so far. I think Boston, especially without Jimmy Butler, I think Boston's just way, way better than Miami at every position. And then it'll be interesting to see what happens with New York and Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia, you hate to say game two is a must win, but with Embiid's injury, it might be a must win here tonight. They've got to come out of the garden with a win. But I think New York is. They're a really nice team all the way around. They're tough like Tibbs. The one I'm really curious about is the Milwaukee Indiana. I still think, the data from the regular season highly suggests that was more of a fluke on Milwaukee's side than it was Indiana's side. And I think as the series goes along here, I think Indiana will, Milwaukee may very well win the series, but I think Indiana is going to make it very difficult on them if they do not win it.
Halliburton's got to play better. That's the big thing from that game. But like you mentioned, Marty, I think it was an aberration as well. I mean, you take a look at the shooting percentage that Indiana had in that game, and it was very, very woeful. Dame was unconscious, 35 points in the first half. I don't believe he scored in the second half.
Nope.
And not that that's a harbinger of things to come, but they're going to be very dependent upon Dame. if Giannis is going to miss some extended time.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. What about the Western Conference here, Tony? What's kind of your
read? You know,
the
thing that I was a little bit surprised with was how close the Pelicans hung with the Thunder, but then come to find out, I believe the Pelicans are 28-10 on the road or something like that. Mm-hmm. So they're a really good home team. And then the Thunder and the Sixers as well. I think both of those, the big bugaboos for the Thunder and the Sixers, they don't rebound very well.
Yeah.
And so I think that's going to be exposed as you advance to the playoffs. I don't find the Thunder all that overwhelming as a one seed. They really don't scare me a whole lot. They really have one guy who can create his own shot. That's obviously Shea. But you know, it wouldn't surprise me. I think the Thunder are going to get past the Pelicans in a long-winded sort of way. What I'm saying is, it would not surprise me if the Thunder do not get out of the semifinals. Mm-hmm. And again, one game in, the team that I'm really, really impressed with that kind of blew my socks off a little bit was Minnesota. Yeah. And you know, Anthony Edwards, dude's 22 years old. I don't know if people realize that. There will be people that will be drafted out of college this year that are older than Ant.
Yeah.
And I really believe, I hate to say this because I won't put all that kind of pressure, but I really believe we are looking at a young Michael Jordan.
Oh, that's a big matzo ball there, Georgie boy.
I love his game. I love his swagger. And he's a two-way guy. He's a new school. Like, he has like the new school swag and game and stuff like that. But he's got those old school values and stuff, and just super, super competitive and quickly becoming one of, if not my favorite player.
Wow. Coaches, you know just as well as I do that we're always looking for new and different ways to motivate our players and programs. But sometimes it's hard to find that perfect source that we're looking for. Over the past 25 years, I've collected hundreds of handouts to help motivate my players and programs. And now I'd like to share some of my favorites with you. The A Pen and a Napkin 101 Best Handouts booklet is now available to you for only $15. In this booklet, you'll find motivational material for all types of situations and individuals to help you communicate your values to your players and program. For ordering information, you can either DM me on Twitter or email me at apenandanapkin@gmail.com for details. I was, you know, again, kind of watching the game out of the corner of my eye. I was really impressed with Denver. I think when it comes down to it, and again, the big if they stay healthy. You know, you take a look at New Orleans. What if Zion plays? Does that change that game one? You know,
yeah.
If Zion would have finished out the play-in game with the Lakers, they had all the momentum in the world at the end of that game when he went out with 3 minutes left. So, but like with Giannis's injury, it's a soft tissue injury, so you know it's hard to tell when he's going to be ready to go and all that stuff. But I think that. New Orleans does bring them problems. I think Minnesota will beat Phoenix, but I think Phoenix will play better. Phoenix shot it really poorly. Now, some of that goes with, you know, Minnesota's got the best defense in the league.
McDaniels, Gobert, yeah.
You know, they're really good on defense when Ant really wants to turn it up. Did you ever watch that movie Hustle with Adam Sandler?
Yeah. He was really good at that.
He was really good in that, yeah. So they got that all that going on, but it's just hard to see anybody beating Denver four times in seven games as long as they stay healthy. I just think that starting five this time of year with the best player, and he is the best player, and you know they're gonna have, you know, there's no back to backs, the travel is simpler, all that other stuff. I just think it's going to be hard for anybody in the Western Conference to beat them. Now, if, and again, let's play the if game, if Kawhi could ever just get fully healthy and the Clippers kind of, because they showed for about 2 months how good they could be when they had everybody all together and everybody was knowing, accepting, embracing, and excelling at their roles. They were really, really good for that two and a half months. And Harden had a throwback game. Yesterday shot the heck out of it, but then, you know, Luka and Kyrie played poorly. They're not going to play that poorly every game. Harden's not going to play that well every game. So I think that'll be bouncing back and forth. But I just find it hard to believe anybody's going to beat Denver in seven games, other than Boston.
The only, the only team I think I see out west that might be able to do it is Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I think they match up with them better than others, but
yeah.
Jokic is the best player, not just in the Western Conference. He's the best player in the league.
Yeah.
The only the cat that's going to be handed off to pretty soon is Anthony Edwards. I don't know when that's going to happen, year two, three, whatever. But that could be a really good series between those two.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say with Denver, they're not as deep as last year. And you're like, yep. Tony, come on, man. They only went eight deep last year. Exactly. They only went eight deep last year. I don't know. I mean, Christian Braun, maybe. Watson's decent. Mm-hmm. But, DeAndre Jordan obviously is a little long in the tooth.
Yeah.
But
Reggie Jackson didn't play last year, and he's playing this year.
Yeah. And, and it's not Reggie Jackson, the New York Yankees. So, I mean, it's one of those things where, they're not as deep as what they were. They're not bringing in Bruce Brown and trying to think of,
Jeff Green.
Uncle Jeff Green. Yeah. And so those are two big veterans that they're missing, because Christian Braun was in that rotation last year.
Yeah.
He's been a little bit more up and down, it seems like, this year. I don't think he's as consistent as what he was, and I thought he might be ready to take a bigger step than what he did this year.
Yeah.
But Minnesota could push him. That's about the only one. But the only team I think that could beat him in a seven-game series is Boston.
Mm-hmm. Hey, just to let you know.
And if Boston hits 22 threes, nobody's going to beat him.
No. Just to let you know, speaking of the Yankees, Billy Martin just got fired.
Doggone. Again?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, for the third time.
Did you hear that when Brett Boone got ejected today?
Yeah.
Has the most ejections in Yankee baseball history.
No
Keep
way.
Keep that in mind. Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And he got ejected from something a fan said. I remember I was my first year coaching. I was a boys assistant coach, and we were playing on the road, and one of the fans from the team that we were playing at swore at the official. He teed up our bench, and I'm like, that's not even our fan.
I've heard that happening before. It didn't happen to me, but I've heard it happening before, though. So
yeah.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
New York Knickerbockers just tied the Sixers.
Okay. Let's wrap up here on the college portal. The Indiana Hoosiers have Bobby Knight is probably rolling over in his grave, knowing what is happening here with how much money is being paid to these kids with the NIL deals. The Hoosiers are kind of the leaders in the clubhouse right now. If you were to rank the team's most successful in a transfer portal so far,
they have had their fair share of success, and Mike Woodson needs that to equate into W's, because if it doesn't, he will not be the beneficiary of that again. They'll have a new coach in that will benefit from that. But yeah, I mean, they've done well. There have been, the crazy thing is, I think a little over half of the big time transfers have found a home. Mm-hmm. There's still some intriguing pieces out there that have yet to fall.
Yeah.
And there's still a lot of things that can swing different ways and stuff. I know the Gillis kid from Purdue just signed on with Duke today.
Yep, I did see that. That one, we've got a lot of local interest here in Omaha. We've got three kids from Bellevue West, Chucky Hepburn, who's started at Wisconsin every game that he's been there. And then Frankie Fiddler, who went to UNO and had three great years there. William Kyle, who was at South Dakota State. All three of those kids who are Omaha kids announced that they were going to transfer, and everybody's kind of waiting to see, the Nebraska people are hoping two or three of them pick Nebraska. The Creighton folks are hoping two or three of them pick Creighton. So there's a lot of them out there. This kid from Dayton, Kansas, Duke, North Carolina, UConn, Kentucky, Jeremy Roach left Duke to go to Baylor. I'm just kind of scrolling through here. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar from
Indiana State.
Followed his coach to St. Louis. Dusty May is doing a lot of stuff here at Michigan.
Getting Ohio State guys too.
Yeah, yeah. So that's you know, you would never expect that to happen, but back in the day, I should say. So yeah.
When rivalries meant something.
Yeah, yeah. It is a little bit different world. So you know, Kansas landed AJ Store. Apparently, they must have upped the ante.
Got another 250K.
Yeah, something like that. So, it's the Wild West, and you know, you talk about us trying to recharge and re-energize as high school coaches, but for these college coaches, and again, a lot of these guys are making a lot of money, especially when you're talking the Power Five schools. So, I don't think anybody is saying, oh, you know, woe is you, so to speak. But it's a different world for them too, and they're trying to navigate NIL and transfer portal all at once. I think some of this, when we get through the COVID eligibilities, and we've got one more year of kids that have, you know, the extra year of eligibility because of COVID, I think once we kind of get through that, I think this situation could possibly settle down a little bit more. But you know, right now it is really, really chaotic here. So, yeah, it's been interesting to watch develop. Anything else on that, buddy?
It is a different world, and it's one of those things where you have to adapt. You know, Cal became the guy that was the master of the one and done, and that model does not have as much success as it used to. And now it's the NIL transfer portal, and if you don't navigate that well, you really struggle. And the teams that do navigate it well, you have a chance to be very, very successful. But you have to have deep pocket donors. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a part of why I think Cal will do okay at Arkansas, because of the donors that he'll have there. And I think he's wanting to try a different model with doing the graduate transfer thing after figuring out that, hey, the one and done's maybe isn't the model to follow anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be, you know, it will be interesting. And we're seeing it also in the women's game. I mean, Iowa got the gal from Villanova to step into quote unquote Caitlin Clark's role. Now, nobody can really step into Caitlin Clark's role, but she was the nation's third leading scorer at Villanova. And now she's coming over to Iowa to play the point there. And Haley Van Lith left LSU to go to TCU. You know, so I mean, it's coming, the gal that had 42 or 43 against Iowa State from Stanford in the second round, is leaving. Now, I don't think she's announced where she's going. That Beers girl from Oregon State, their really, really good center, is leaving. So it's not just a guy's thing. It's a women's basketball thing as well. It's not going to change, so you have to adjust. I forget. I think it might have been Mike Nabors. You know, he said, you know, you got two choices. You can still listen to vinyl, or you can take your vinyl collection and change it to cassettes, and then from cassettes to CDs, and then from CDs to you know, digital. You got to be willing to change with the times if you want to stay successful, and that's what a lot of staffs are having to do these days in this kind of chaos of the portal situation.
Yes, and you know, our friend at Iowa State, Coach Finley, added a couple of nice transfers in.
Yeah,
one from TCU and one from Marquette, both sophomores, so could be there for a while, and both shoot the three. And you know, that's a big staple of the Cyclone offense.
Yeah, just going to make it a little bit easier for Audie Crooks to have more shooters out there on the perimeter for her. So should be good there. So episode 83, Tony, anything else on helping your kids recharge?
The big thing I would go with, Marty, is you go back and you take a look. Michael Jordan, when the season was over, he got away from it. And if it's good enough for the GOAT, I think it's good enough for high school players as well. And so you need some of those things where you do take a break, both mentally and physically, recharge the batteries so the game stays fun and you can make the necessary adjustments and improvements to put your best foot forward and continue to develop in your journey, both as a player and as a person.
Yeah, I agree. You're not going to win a state championship at an April open gym or an April workout. Give your kids a chance to recharge. Have 20 great off-season workouts instead of 30 average ones, because you're trying to do too much, or whatever the number may be. I'm just using random numbers there.
Yep.
But do that and have your kids wanting to come back for more. I think that's a really, really important thing to do here. So
great rule of
thumb. Yep. Well, hey, Tony, episode 83, great stuff as always. You know, enjoy your week. I know we both have a few busy days here. You know, while you're busy, if you miss anything on TV, you can use your VCR to record any of those programs. So just remember that.
Do you get any VHS tapes for me?
I've got beta. I've got beta.
Okay.
So, I gotta find it. I think they're underneath our, 8-track tape player. So, let me see if I can get that for you. I might mail it over to CR for you.
I appreciate that.
All right, buddy. Well, hey, for Tony Viss, Marty Plum here, the coaching staff, episode 83. If you need anything from Tony or I, you know how to get a hold of us. Coaches, as always, let's be sure to hone our craft one day at a time.